Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Continuing in the Sermon on the Mount, continuing in that context, in the statements that begin with, "You have heard that it was said," in verse 21. "You have heard that it was said," in verse 27. "It was also said," in verse 31. "Again, you have heard that it was said," verse 33. "Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn.' But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great God. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil, or from the evil one. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil, or from the evil one." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this Lord's Day. We ask that we may not use your name in vain, that we will not carve images as objects of worship, that in our worshiping of you, we will remember that you are God who has redeemed us. You call us to worship you because of what you have done. We ask that as we do this, we'll be reminded of our Savior's injunctions that those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. Our Savior echoes the teaching in this portion of your word regarding our daily speech and our formal times of taking oaths. We ask, therefore, that you will challenge us to be men and women that are faithful, that are honest, that are reliable, that are not scheming and manipulative in what we say to persuade people to believe us, but that our yes and no will suffice for many to trust us. So be pleased, O God, to bless the preaching of your word, that any that is not saved and among us, that they will remember and that there will be challenged that there is only one way, the truth and the life, and that is Christ. That they will respond to the truth of repentance in faith and come to him and be saved. The saved, we plead, will continue to pursue righteousness, Christ-likeness, even in telling the truth. Bless, therefore, this activity of worship through your Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Let me quickly read you, by way of introduction, a story, as many I come across, man of God giving the testimony in a context of a funeral. He writes as follows: "At the funeral of a man who was very generous and loving, but ungodly and dissipated, I felt unwilling to make a funeral address that should be untrue to my convictions of the truth of the Word of God. Accordingly, I spoke to the businessmen present in very large numbers who had been his companions about the folly of neglecting the soul even for the sake of worldly profit. They had expected to hear a eulogy of the dead and get comfort in their own ungodliness and were much incensed. One of them cursed and saw that he would provide in his will that I should never officiate at his funeral. Shortly after, God smote him with incurable disease, and for many months he lingered in great agony and died. He would send for me and cling to me like a child, confess to me his sinful life, and beg me to pray for him and with him. Before his death, he wrote me a letter with a trembling hand, a letter that is to me as precious as gold. In it, he says, "Be always honest and true with men. Tell them the truth. And even those who at the time may take offense will afterward stand by you and approve of your course." When he came to look into the great hereafter, he wanted no shallow quicksand or flattering falsehood on which to rest his feet. There comes a time when every man wants to know the truth. Let me read his words again. That's the thrust of today's reflection. Be always honest and true with men. We can include there with yourself as well. Tell them the truth. And even those who at the time may take offense will afterward stand by you and approve of your course. A question this morning to all of us. How truthful and honest are you in your conversations? How truthful and honest are you in your relationships? How truthful and honest are you in your church life? How truthful and honest are you in your transactions? How truthful and honest are you to your husband and to your wife? How truthful and honest are you to your parents, to your children? How truthful are you to your employers, to your employees? How truthful are you to the elders and deacons and to the members? How truthful are you? That man who hated the preacher for speaking the truth, in his deathbed writes, "Always be honest. Tell the truth." In this section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave a compression of several commands in the Old Testament that forbade taking an oath, invoking the Lord's name to guarantee the oath, and then breaking it. What Jesus is doing is get those scriptures, summarize them, and reduce them to this: always tell the truth. Those scriptures include Exodus 20, verse 7, Leviticus 19, verse 2, Numbers 30, verse 2, Deuteronomy 5, verse 11, chapter 6, verse 3, chapter 22, verse 21 to 23, and a lot more. A Christian, beloved, must pursue Christ-likeness not only in interpersonal relationships. That's what we read. Make peace before the person you've offended, before you get to the judge. Make peace, in other words, establish interpersonal sound relationships. Pursue Christ-likeness even in that area of your life. A Christian must pursue Christ-likeness not only in interpersonal relationships, not only by not committing adultery, but also by not committing murder, but also by not living in a marriage unrighteously. And that's what we've been reflecting on. Verse 21, you've heard that it was said to those of old, "You shall not commit murder." And then he explains what that means. "You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery." He explains that this is not simply about those of us that are legalistic and judgmental. This is not about simply a physical act. It's an issue of the heart. And we probably, if not most of us, all of us are guilty, except the children. And the Savior says, pursue Christ-likeness there as well. Verse 31, it was also said, whoever divorces his wife Now, of course, we considered Matthew 19. This includes women and men. Mark chapter 10, men and women. And he says, even in your marriages, pursue Christ-likeness. And in this context, he's saying to us, do not only pursue Christ-likeness in these areas, but pursue Christ-likeness by being truthful and sincere, by being genuine in all forms of speech, as can be observed from the negative and positive commands of Jesus in this section of the Sermon on the Mount. So do not only pursue Christ-likeness in your marriage, but also pursue Christ-likeness in truthfulness, sincerity, genuineness in all forms of speech or conversations, as is clearly indicated in the commands, positively and negatively emphasized. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. And there is a sense in which this is absolutely explicit for this team. You've just come from swearing, from receiving a charge, from making a commitment. And to us as a church, that will not do anything shameful, disappointing to them, will identify with them, will stand with them. We just made those vows. We just made those promises. And the text begins this way, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not take an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. In considering the commands, what does the Lord Jesus Christ prohibit in this passage? What is it that he's saying, don't do this? Do not use the name of the Lord in vain. That's the summary of this. The summary of this is Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. The third commandment. That's basically what he's beginning with. Do not use the name of the Lord in vain. He is prohibiting, he's rebuking, he's stopping us from doing that. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. And here he puts it this way in our text. Anything more than this comes from the evil one, or is evil. And as we read James' letter, such ones will be condemned. Reading the NIV reads as follows, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. The issue being prohibited is the use of the name of God carelessly or lightly or flippantly or casually or frivolously. Whichever of those synonyms you pick up, clutch on it. Do not misuse the name or use the name of the Lord carelessly. Don't do that. Do not use the name of the Lord lightly. And this is one example I would give. Please, when you say to people, God bless you, be sure you mean it. It's not just some phrase that you just throw out when you feel like there is nothing to say. So you must say something, but because we are a Christian nation, you must say something religious. The Lord bless you. But meanwhile, as you turn around and go, you wish them they would get in an accident. That's careless. That's contemptuous. That's a misuse of the name of the Lord. What is prohibited is the idle and contemptuous or disrespectful or irreverent use of the name of the Lord. I commented on this some time back. Please let those who don't know God refer to God as Vashema. Please don't do that. Let those who don't know Christ, like my teacher of physics would say, Jesus Christ on the bicycle, don't. He's not your cousin. He's not your grandparent. He's God Almighty. And the statement says, you misuse his name, you will not, he will hold you guilty. This charge. What Jesus Christ is rebuking is the gross error of supposing that one might, as the Jews were, abuse the name of God without putting oneself in danger, provided they did not swear falsely. Again, verse 33, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely. Now, this is true. But as you read the text, there is what now they began to do. That as long as you swear and keep out in your swearing the name of God, you are safe. Because the condemnation comes in the context of swearing. If you even use his name, then you're in trouble. So as we'll see later, what's the next thing to do? Swear by Jerusalem. Swear by the heavens. Kaleza kaningambe. Be careful, it may just strike you. Now, those of you who are not from Eastern Province, you can ask us from Eastern Province. That simply means, may the lightning strike me. And somebody says, when you do this, you basically, one of the things you are saying, if you want, you can chop off my head. We may just hold you accountable. There are many swords around. Don't misuse the name of the Lord. What is prohibited is also the breaking of an oath. By lying. Again, you've heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform to the Lord what you have sworn. He doesn't say, don't do this. But here is what he goes on to say. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all. And the implication of this is in the way you do. In some form of manipulation to hide behind the words. Don't do that. If you do swear, swear truthfully. Swear truthfully. What is prohibited? Using the name of the Lord in vain. That's prohibited. Lying is prohibited. Beloved, every form of lie. Now, don't be clever and go into what is called situational ethics. That's being clever. That's behaving like the Jews. It's what if you are placed in this situation? No, we rarely placed in those situations. Normal life does not always come with extremes. Normal life is simply matters of where we tell the truth or not. That's what Jesus is saying. Be truthful. So when I phone Vanathan and say, where are you, brother? He shouldn't tell me I'm on the way when he's actually seated. He's not on the way, is he? Kamuli ku bedroom, muli pa mirror, na mitumi na phone ati muli kuwa tindi munshira. Muli munshira. On the mirror, it's on the way. Now, the way you're answering the question suggests to me that maybe that's what is it. From my simple understanding of English, on the mirror is on the mirror, right? It's on the way. The mirror is not Broadway. So simply tell the truth, I'll be coming soon. But here is how sometimes we do these things. In how much time? No, don't worry, I'll be coming. The point is, we know that we are far. When we say to them 45 minutes, they'll be saying, the appointment was at 11. It's 11:50. Now, I'm grateful that most of you that were here yesterday know this. Please, Mrs. Liena, even on the wedding, don't lie. Amen? Don't tell us you come at 10:30, then you come at 11:45. It's a lie. And this text applies. Let me pause here and just assume this is a Bible study. I need to make certain things clear. If on a wedding you tell us the reception is at 15 hours, you've told us. That's what the card says. Reception, 15 hours. You come at 15:30. Have you lied? Have you? How many of you told the truth on your wedding? Did you repent of that lie? Look at the text. You shall not lie. We even put on the wedding anything to do with God. He will find a wife. And so you're telling us you are spiritual and godly, and this must be exemplified. Let me announce in advance. In the past weddings, I was being gracious. I would like to announce in advance, those of you that will get married here, if you tell us the wedding will start at 10 hours, I'll hold you accountable. If you come at 10:30 and we are meant to be here for 1 hour, so we get permission from the council, the wedding will start at 10 and it will finish at 11. You with me? You tell us you come at 10. If you come at 10:30, we will finish everything in 30 minutes. Please don't go home and say, "But Pastor Bobby, I'm only being faithful to the council." We are okay? Now, obviously, you're saying to me, "But Pastor, you know, you have not been faithful regarding time." Preaching is a holy thing. You get the point. We must be faithful. Please be faithful. So the question by way of command, what is he prohibiting lying? Secondly, what is not prohibited? We've seen what is prohibited, but what is it that is saying don't? If you read church history, the Anabaptists, because of that statement in verse 34, "But I say to you, do not take an oath at all." The Anabaptists never saw at all. We have their equivalent, except the theology is terribly wrong. This is the passage Jehovah's Witnesses use not to swear. If you go to a Jehovah's Witness and say to them, "Lift your Bible and say after me," they will tell you, "I don't swear." We need to ask the question, is that what the passage is saying? Is the passage saying, when you go to the courts of law and they say, "Swear," you say, "Because I'm a Christian, I don't. And because of Matthew"? Is that what that verse is saying? When you are a member of parliament, is it saying you don't lift the Bible? Or if you are Muslim, Quran? Is that what this is saying? We need to be clear about what it is not prohibiting. Jesus is not condemning every form of swearing or taking oaths. This verse is not saying don't take any form of oath or swearing at all. That's not what this is saying. And it's for this simple reason, that when Jesus was challenged before the political system, which was also the magistrates, to make a statement under oath, he made a statement. Read issues to do with Christ. When he comes before this governor or this emperor and is thrown with many questions and is silent. But when the man on the chair says to him, "You are under oath," that there is a promise, there is a swearing under which you are. When that is invoked, the Savior makes a statement. But when you read Hebrews, God swears by himself. Well, when you read the Apostle Paul, he's one man who many times, "I tell you the truth, I'm not lying in Christ." is giving you a solemn statement of an oath. So this statement is not saying, show your Christianity by being unnecessarily stubborn. When the judge says, swear, I say, and I'm a Christian, I don't. You are infringing on my freedom of worship. You can't quote this because of what will simply be stated. To swear or take an oath is to make a solemn promise or a declaration or a statement with an appeal to God or a superhuman being or to some sacred object in confirmation of what is said. What we did in passing the charge is basically saying to these people, here is an oath. Here is a solemn statement you are making to this church. And Jesus is not saying that's wrong. This passage is not prohibiting or swearing. A paying attention to the passage explains what kind of swearing is prohibited. And it's all under this one statement, swearing falsely or carelessly. And here is the qualification. But I say to you, do not take an oath at all. And then the statement continues, either. So here are the things you must not do. Here is what I mean. Don't swear like this, by heaven or by the earth, by Jerusalem or by your head. The rabbis had developed an elaborate stratification or a radar system of swearing. They taught that swearing by God's name was binding, but swearing by heaven and earth was not binding. Swearing toward Jerusalem was binding, but swearing by Jerusalem was not. Swearing by your head, basically by treating yourself as self-governing, was really not as binding as swearing by God's name. The Jews had a roundabout and indirect way of swearing, and when they saw by heaven or by earth or by Jerusalem or by the altar, they argued or reasoned that it was really nothing. And they defended under this pretense any misuse of the name of God that was not openly stated. When a Jew saw this way, here is what they were saying. Even if I break the promise, it's still not a big deal. So in other words, I'm actually doing this not to hold me accountable, even to just be straightforward, false. And I'm doing the right thing because I'm not breaking Deuteronomy 5:11. Do not use the name of the Lord in vain. There is no name here. I use Jerusalem. Like I do in sometimes with some people, I would say to them, I appeal to you in the name of the church. That's simply to say, look, there is no such swearing. And that's what they were doing. During this time in Jewish practice, almost nothing was regarded as a binding oath if only the name of God was not included in it and so many promises were not kept and vows not fulfilled. Jesus cast through all the subtlety by declaring that if aught that God intended to guarantee truthfulness in speech become the instruments of deceit, it is better to avoid swearing at all. If you are going to swear simply to cover up your deceitfulness, don't. The courts of law be charged with contempt of court, perjury, lying to the court. The rabbis went to this extent of maneuvering because they rightly understood, as we must, that the calling on the name of God to be witness of the truth we say is to also acknowledge that he will know and punish if one does not tell the truth or do what one or does not do what one has promised. Beloved, when we promise in God's name, here is what we are saying. God, if I'm going to lie, punish me. if what I'm saying, God in your name, is a lie, punish me. But you are also saying this, that if I do not fulfill what I've promised, so the promise may actually be true. But if you do not promise, if you do not fulfill the promise, you're saying to God, punish me. I'd want to say that sometimes some of the things we go through may be because of this. You promise God. And many times this happens. You're looking for a job, and you come to those in your Bible study group and say to them, I need a job. And if God, you give me a job, I'll really be grateful and I'll be faithful. And the very first salary, you don't prove faithful. And when things don't go right, we blame God. Please remember that when you promise, you're saying to God, if I am wrong, punish. If I don't do, punish. What the Lord is stating is that this kind of religious shrewdness still is misusing the name of the Lord. And this is repeated in Matthew 23:16-22. Jesus' teaching is that every oath carries an appeal to God, whether named or not. For us as Christians, every promise you make, whether you directly include God or you don't, you make a promise, God is involved. Please be faithful. Jesus was saying that whatever a person may appeal to in an oath has some connection with God. Therefore, any oath is an appeal to God indirectly, if not directly. To say that one could swear by one's own head, for example, and then break his vow because he did not mention God's name was short-sightedness and manipulative and being deceitful. And the statement proves that. Here is what he says. And do not take an oath by your head. Why? Because you can't be trusted as a human being ultimately to have ability to control anything. Now, how does he do this? For you cannot make one hair white or black. Now, this is not talking about dyeing your hair. It's talking about turning your black hair to gray or your white hair to black. Nobody has that ability. In other words, he's saying you actually don't have control. It's not your life. You can't guarantee yourself. I ask again, beloved, how truthful are you? How truthful are you? Lastly, what is commanded? First question was, what is prohibited? Second question was, what is not prohibited? Third question is, well, what is commanded? Simply the sincerity and honesty. Trustworthiness. Jesus is commanding honesty and sincerity in the simplest of language. In the simplest of language. Let what you say be simply yes or no. That's all you need to do. In everyday conversations, there is no reason to be saying, you don't believe me, let's get the Bible. You know, I'm really telling you the truth. I'll give you talk time tomorrow for 20 kwacha. There is no reason. Let your yes be as trustworthy as if you've sown. Be so credible that when you say you will do, that people will actually believe you. Is that you? When you say to your friend you go at 11, does your friend ask again, or they simply know you will? Or come at 10 hours, and your friend says, great, see you tomorrow. Or do they say to you, which 10 hours? The Zambian one or the British one? Well, when they say that, here is what they are saying. As far as I know you, you do not keep time. Well, let's put it a little more radically. You are a liar. regarding timekeeping. When you say you come at 10, you don't. If you come at 10:30, you've done your best. That's what the text is saying. Praise him. When you say, let's meet at 15, do you come at 15? And if you don't, what does your conscience tell you? It's okay. You know, effort wa batwa laya. You know, but I wish what na lice. Mrs. Lena, why am we saka manali naima? No. We said 15. You are a Christian. 15 hours. When youth meetings begin, what time will you be going? Prayer meeting on Thursday, 17:30. What time do you come? And please, I know that some of your coming late are genuine. I am talking about lying. Do you keep your promises? When you say to your husband, every morning I'll be telling you I love you, have you been faithful? The practice of going beyond yes and no in affirmations and denials, as if our word for it were not enough and we expected others to question it, springs from that vicious root of untruthfulness, which is only aggravated by the very effort to clear ourselves of the suspicion of it. Here's what this statement means, beloved. If you say to people, please, congregation 500, kaleta next week, and they say to you, mulishua mkaleta next week, here's what they are saying. Are you being truthful or are you going to be a liar? Prove yourself that when you say to them, you will give them their 50 kwacha on Tuesday. If you are not able for justifiable means, communicate. Not obviously, but they kind of way to produce the soul. You know, they'll know. You know, these are tough times. You know, because I borrowed 100. This is COVID times. No, you promised in COVID that you will bring on Wednesday. Do bring. Do you belong to the ushers team? You signed up to do ushering at Indola Baptist Church. Do you do that? If you don't, you've been lying. Have you promised that you belong to the media group? Are you there? If you registered and said you belong and you don't, you've been lying. Repent. Because your yes must simply be yes. So, beloved, I ask again, how truthful have you been? How honest have you been? My wife was reminding me about a promise I made to my daughter. Thankfully, not justifying the wrong, I didn't put a time frame to it. That's what you do when you don't know. Just say, we'll do this. Don't put a time frame. Because you then need to say, but I didn't tell you next week, did I? So I promised that I'll buy paint for my daughter before they closed. They are in COVID, and she was telling the mother, Daddy promised to buy paint. Please don't do that if you will not fulfill it. Don't promise some child on the road you bring them lollipop tomorrow, but you know you won't. You'll not even pass that route. Please don't. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no. The Lord's emphasis in this passage is to point out the importance of being truthful. He's saying in the strongest terms that those who follow him must speak the truth. What Jesus is emphasizing by referring to swearing by heaven is that what is important is to tell the truth and keep one's pledges without insisting that a certain form of words must be used if it is to be binding. Let your yes be yes and no, no in general means that our words must be so reliable that nothing more than a simple affirmation or negation statement should come from us. Jesus is saying his followers must never take the line that only when an oath is so need they be truthful. James 5:12, but above all, my brothers, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Beloved, our statements must be so reliable, as a result making our swearing unnecessary. Most times our careful and sometimes emotional swearing casts doubt on our veracity or reliability and breeds suspicion, distrust, and disunity. Friends, it's true. In many churches, sadly, what a shame that many churches, I think even this church, the leadership has reached the conclusion when a member comes to borrow money, we will not lend them. We will just give them if the money is there. And one of the reasons is this, because when members borrow from the church, they don't do what? Return. Why must we behave like that and deprive others in genuine need of the opportunity to borrow and they'll bring, but the leaders say, Tatwakula kongwesha pantababwesh. Ndola Baptist. How? How can we behave like that? The truth. The truth. The truth. Oh, but let me close here. You say you've repented. Are you sure? Are you sure you have? You've made a resolution, I've lived a terrible life. But from this moment on, this is the life I will live. Well, my question to you is this, are you sure? Are you being truthful to yourself? Because if you are not, God will hold you accountable. You say you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you sure? Or you simply repeated phrases you didn't mean, and you assume, therefore, you are saved. If you think you've repented and you've believed in the Savior, and yet it's not true, it's simply some statement, bad news is here, you are not saved. The Apostle Paul tells us there is a repentance that actually does not save, and there is a repentance that saves. Some repentance is simply feeling a bad. That's where it ends. Well, the text, beloved, summarizes simply this. But above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body. Ephesians 4:25. So, beloved, do you use the name of the Lord in vain? Repent. Do not hide in religious semantics and assume you'll escape the all-piercing eye and condemnation or disapproval of God. Don't deceive yourself. Let what you say be simply yes and no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one, or is he evil? I ask again, how truthful have you been? The Lord knows, and you know. Make things right. Amen.